Sports. Sports news. Sports stories. And if there's time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will Penhalley.
All right, it's the Sports Dump July edition. This is our only July episode that we've done so far, and probably the only one for July. It's a little different, the Sports Dump today. I'm joined by two guests. Usually I do the Sports Dump by myself. You may not know that because no one's listened to it yet. But now I've got two guests with me. Quincy Miller is joining me. Say hi, Quincy.
Hey, everybody.
And also Dan Antonucci, or as he will forever from this point be known as, Nooch is here.
Good morning, everybody.
Unfortunately, Nooch and I have to share a microphone today, so that may prove difficult at points.
That's because my takes are twice as valuable, I think. I get my own mic.
And I also don't trust Nooch to hold his own microphone.
Yeah, because I could go off. And
I don't mind you going off. It's just that we've tried this in the past and once did an entire podcast where you didn't talk into the microphone, so none of your stuff was usable.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's just the history of what we've got going on. And also, I was saying this to Dan before. This is a sports podcast, although I feel like we'll veer off into any direction that we end up going. But I'm somewhat in the middle. My name's Joe. I'm the host. I said this to you before, Dan, that between the two guests I have today, Quincy and Dan, Nooch is lower status than me in our relationship, and Quincy is higher status than me. So I'm an idiot compared to Quincy, but Dan is an idiot compared to me.
And I'm an idiot compared to
most
just about
people.
Anybody
yes,
else. So that's
yes,
that's the levels
right,
we're working
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
All right.
You're much better when we're not recording, Nooch.
Thank you. That's something we're gonna work through together.
And we're going to talk about the sports events of the day or stories of the day, which there really aren't too many right now.
Whoa. Are you kidding?
Go ahead. What do you have?
The big news in the NBA, the balance of power has shifted. The Warriors are on notice. The Magic have signed Maurice Spates.
I know.
Ooh.
Maurice Spates shot 37.5% from the three-point line last year.
He's like Curry and Durant. In a giant
yes.
gangly body.
He is. He is if you smushed, if Durant ate Curry, you'd have Maurice Spates.
It sounds like a tasty dish too, Curry and Spates.
Oh, yes. Add Curry to anything. Except, like, Durant, if he ate Curry, it'd be him playing immediately after eating Curry.
And he's got a thin body, so he'd be exiting almost immediately.
Yeah, I don't mean Curry the Spice. I mean Steph Curry.
Yes. Well, he'd also, it'd be so noticeable because Curry's bones would be sticking out and he would show if he ate Curry.
Yeah. I don't think he'd eat him like a boa constrictor or anything.
That's where we differ.
The Orlando, what a crappy team. That's not the big news in the NBA, of course. Kyrie Irving is the big news in the NBA, wanting out of Cleveland. And I know, Dan, you're a big fan of basketball. What do you think about this Kyrie Irving thing?
I think it was just a matter of time. He's shown knucklehead tendencies over the years. And, you know, if he's a lot of young players would be very happy to be to three or four straight finals. And he thinks he's going to go somewhere else, have his own team. I'm sure a lot of it's tied in to branding and sales and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes.
Look, you don't have to finish any, good takes or anything. I don't want you to feel pressure on that regard.
Wait, are you saying that was a good take, though?
No, I'm saying that you approached it like you had to punctuate it or something. You just don't need to do that.
Fair enough.
I feel like there was a talk that happened after Kyrie Irving's first year at Duke where Coach K told him, look, if you quit now, you'll quit on everything. For
and
the rest of your
quit.
Life, and now it's coming true. It's right. coming to pass.
Right.
He only played 11 games at Duke.
Yeah. He did not have a long career at Duke. Well, Harry Giles only played like 11 games.
Harry Giles?
Not Harry Giles. Harry Styles?
Yes.
No, Giles. Isn't that the guy's name? The number one Isn't it Harry Giles?
Number one ish.
I never said it wasn't. I just said Harry Giles.
Oh, so I was right, but you said it in a way that made me think it was wrong.
I thought you were thinking of somebody else.
But, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I think he's a knucklehead, too. Knucklehead's gonna knuckle, as you would say.
The most talented knucklehead, though. Let's not get it twisted. He's a proven ring-wearing, winning knucklehead. That's what makes him special.
He's a guy who could average 10 assists and 30 points a game for a team that wins 30 games.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what he wants in some way. Because if he goes to New York, that's what he's going to get.
Well, it's like the reverse. Like, all these other superstars, they have their numbers and everything. Then they go and they subject themselves to a team to win a ring. He already got the ring,
yes,
so now he can be selfish.
Now it's just all numbers. You're right. You're right. He's got his ring, and now he can get his numbers. Good for you, Kyrie.
Great job, Kyrie. Look forward to your upcoming campaigns.
I'm just going to make a quick pitch
for
my basketball team. Durant got a ring when he joined up with Steph Curry in Golden State. Now, Kyrie, if you want a ring, you need to join up with Seth Curry in Dallas.
Ooh, in Dallas.
That's an unstoppable 1-2 combo.
Dan was actually talking about...
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually something that's been talked about, is potentially going to Dallas for Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and some first-round picks. So you may have your Curry-Irving reunion after all, or just first union.
Union.
Little
union.
Quick
podcasting. Why do you hand me the microphone?
Quick podcasting
as I've
tip
got
for
food.
The viewers at home. When I've you got do a food. Podcast, just shove a donut in your mouth.
Well,
before
here's the point. I'm sharing a microphone with Nooch. For the first time in the 7 minutes we've been doing this, he grabs the mic from me. So I feel like, okay, and I've got an opportunity now to eat something because he's grabbed the mic.
For the record, he's sharing the mic, but he has not shared his donuts. So
there's donuts for everyone.
We're professionals.
Including
professionals.
Anyone listening. I'm sure we have more donuts than we have people who will listen. That's all right. So he hands it back to me as I've got donut in my face. Let me finish talk.
Hey, guys. This guy, let me tell you a little more about the Dallas-Cleveland potential deal. It could be game-changing.
All right. We're going to have to get another mic in here, that's for sure.
It could shift the balance of power in the West between the Mavericks and the Jazz for the 8th seed.
A lot of maneuvering going on for that 8th seed. So I think Kyrie's an idiot. But, yeah, I think today's NBA player, he's got his title, like you said, so now he just wants all the other stuff.
Can we hear some dark horse teams maybe for Kyrie, who maybe we think where he could end up?
I feel like Dallas is the biggest dark horse team. I mean, the Knicks you hear.
Just throwing this one out there. He's been kind of LeBron's protege. LeBron left and then came back to get his original team a title. I'm thinking maybe he goes back to Duke.
Ooh, like after that. The flat earth thing, I don't think they'll let him back into Duke.
I don't think Duke standards are that.
No, they're not. They always say the Harvard of the South, and no one ever pays enough attention to of the South in that sentence there. Makes a lot of difference. No offense to the South, of which Quincy, of course, from Texas.
Well, to bring this back full circle, I think with the Spates signing, the Magic have some trade chips.
Oh, yeah. Turn Spates around immediately.
Flip him for Kyrie.
Flip him for Kyrie. What a clever move. Cleveland could have had him. It's like what the Knicks do with Hardaway, where they trade a guy, and then they drop the guy they got for him in the trade, and then they re-sign the guy who they traded.
To be fair, I don't think that Phil Jackson knew that's Tim Hardaway Jr.
Right. He's like, he's got a mean crossover.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably 50, but...
Get Mitch Richmond.
Run TMC all over again.
Mitch Richmond's one of my favorite players of all time.
I have a Mitch Richmond Golden State jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ah.
You really do?
I do. You interested?
They only made 10 of those.
Yeah. Interested. Yeah. I hope I didn't give it away. It's somewhere. I'll find it. Maybe I'll trade it to you.
Just for our viewers at home, I don't believe him. Just that
say. Okay, and just so everyone knows, there are no viewers at home. Okay. No one can watch this.
And just so you know that if he does have this jersey, it's covered in spaghetti sauce.
I have a lot of clothes covered in spaghetti sauce.
It's good. It means you're eating enough.
That's true. Although a lot of it's getting on my shirt. So, all right, that's the basketball talk. I mean, It's interesting. Basketball has kept us kind of interested as much as any other sport, I'd say, at this point with its off season. I've been paying more attention to that than football, certainly. Football just has arrests at this time of year.
Well, the Cavs are going full Browns all of a sudden. They were the competent team in Cleveland, and now...
That's the thing. I think their GM, David Griffin, was competent. I don't think anything else there was competent.
So he had to go.
Right. And they had LeBron, which makes up for a lot of incompetence. So I actually think they've always been incompetent, but LeBron is so good. And they lucked into the Kyrie pick, ultimately. And they did that Kevin Love trade. That was all Griffin. All Griffin.
He's a basketball junkie, self-proclaimed. So they had a good guy in Griffin. I really like Dave Griffin.
Would you say you're a basketball junkie, self-proclaimed?
Yes, I've talked with the assistant GM at Cleveland, told him I was independent scout, and suggested Tony Roten last year. And it was a really bad suggestion, and a poor time to do so. But that's the type of junkie I am. Anything's possible.
Tony Roten has, like, one of the worst true shooting percentages of any player in the NBA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a point guard who can't shoot threes or twos.
But he's very skilled, and he
he can dribble well. He can dribble with both hands.
Lots of room to improve.
Yeah. But you're describing Jason Kidd and...
No, I'm describing Jason Kidd as a high school player, maybe, for Tony Roten as a third-year NBA player.
If you look at Tony Roten at his ultimate peak, he was as good as anybody that's ever played the game. It was just very brief.
It was a layup. It was one. His peak was one trip down the court.
Fair enough. We can agree to disagree.
Is he a UConn guy?
No, I just like him. He was a Husky, though. I believe he went to Washington.
Oh, he's a Washington Husky. Okay. All right, that's the basketball talk.
One more thing about basketball. Some of you may remember a basketball player named Quincy Miller who played at Baylor. That is not who is in this podcast. It's the different Quincy Miller of Texas origins here.
That's despite the fact that Quincy loves Baylor. He does
big,
not.
Big Baylor fan.
He hates Baylor. The only person who hates Baylor more than him is Stu Gatz, I think, who's always...
Or probably the entire female population.
The population
of Baylor,
University, right. Yeah. They probably are not big fans.
I mean, that's the school where the basketball player murdered his teammate and the coach blamed the murdered teammate. And that's not even the worst thing that's happened at Baylor this century.
Yeah, that's really... It's amazing. Well, Waco going to be what Waco going to be. You know,
site of the biggest biker shootout of all time.
Yeah, right. That's Manny being Manny. That's right. That was the most recent Waco thing, that biker shootout. Do you remember that?
I do. I keep my finger on the pulse of these type of things.
You do.
He's a one percenter.
You do. You keep track of all that stuff.
There was also that explosion.
Yeah.
Shortly after the Boston Marathon stuff the same week at the manure fertilizer plant. That was pretty impressive.
Yes. I do remember. That was an accident, though.
Sure it was.
Yeah.
That's what they'd have you believe.
Yes, the manure industry.
That's Baylor. Baylor would like you to believe that negligence is an accident.
Yes, true. Baseball trade deadline coming up, and I'm so unenthused. There's nothing exciting.
I think Quincy will hit on this as well, but I think the 12-2 since the All-Star break Cubs, the unique dominant way of the Dodgers recently in baseball to put up those type of games out of this set, the excellent young players, the trade deadline, and much more. Go ahead, Quincy.
I mean, possibility of Yu Darvish to the Dodgers should get you excited for the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, Kershaw is doing his annual 4 to 6 weeks on the DL. But if they have him, they have like eight. They have Kershaw, Alex Wood, who's pitching out of his mind. And then they have eight number three starters.
You were at his first loss, weren't you?
I was. I was there as he gave up a grand slam to the
opposing pitcher.
Twins, the Braves pitcher, Jaime Garcia. And that was a moonshot, too. That was not a lucky hit. That was out.
Now, is this the future of baseball? Could somebody hire someone like Quincy to be pitcher kryptonite and have him show up at games and sort of be like a cooler would be in Vegas?
It'd be hard to quantify the luck that a person brings to the game that they watch.
Let me say this for you, if it helps you understand. What if Quincy goes to every single game that Alex Wood pitches? Alex Wood goes 20-6. The six games he loses were all the games that Quincy was at. Then how would you feel?
I'd feel like that's an amazing coincidence.
The question I would ask is, how much would it be worth to Alex Wood for me not to go to any more of his games?
Thank you.
First of all, how do you contact Alex Wood to let him know that this is happening?
2017, Twitter media.
Hey, Alex, I've been at all the games you've lost. How much will you give me to not go to any more?
That's how our
that's how the economy works.
At the end of that game that I was at, there was a lot of paper airplanes being thrown on the field. So I think just writing a note and then with a good aim, I can get it to him.
What?
Or at least to Kenley Jansen.
Paper airplanes?
Oh, the field was lit. Like, it was a blowout, so the top sections of Dodger Stadium decided to amuse themselves, and it just... The field was pretty much littered with paper airplanes.
What are they making these airplanes out of?
I don't know, but I think there were some engineers from Northrop Grumman or JPL, because those things could fly. Mm. They were staying in the air.
Northrop, speaking of the Americans, great little program on Amazon Prime. They paid us. It's okay. Yeah, Northrop's one of the companies featured in there. Yeah. Some of the early 80s defense contracts.
They go into those defense contractors in that show. Dan and I found out the other day that we were watching The Americans at the same pace. Mm-hmm. We were at the same episode, but now you're way ahead of me. We were at the season 2, episode 2, yeah, just a couple days ago. Yeah. I've only watched 2 or 3 more episodes, and you've watched like 10.
Yes, we'll say 10 for entertainment purposes. Yeah.
It might be 9.
Yeah.
I have to watch with my wife. Not have to, but get to. But that delays... The amount of shows we can watch. You could just sit and watch all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say your wife is holding America back, Joe?
I've said that for quite some time.
Yeah.
She's asleep in the other room, so I'll not say that too loudly.
Her entire cell is asleep in the other room.
Yeah, the whole cell. It's getting hot in here, so what did you predict, between 20 and 38 minutes?
Yes. I also, just so our listeners at home understand, it's very warm in here, so... Joe said, I'm going to make it very warm for this podcast to really...
I didn't say that. Why don't you open the window and we'll see if another like lawnmower starts up next to us. No. Open up the window. No, go ahead. No, open it up. It's definitely not. It's definitely not cooler with the window closed.
These are the kind of takes you can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely
folks.
Not.
Can they hear it?
You gotta, it might be locked. You got to see this, the thing there? Oh, man. I wish we did have watchers. Because watching you try to open a window, it's like giving a toy to a monkey and seeing what it does with it.
Yeah, that's how a lot of great scientific data has been compiled over the years. So
we might actually set up a webcam for this window as well, because this is the window that Joe spends 18 hours a day at staring outside, checking
squirrel,
to see what the squirrels are up
a
to.
A squirrel ran in front of my car yesterday. I am telling you, there is a... You love conspiracies, Dan. There's a vast conspiracy amongst the squirrel world against me.
He's like the...
Not surprised.
He's like Ray Liotta at the end of Goodfellas. He's looking out that window, seeing what the squirrels are up to.
Rolling Stones song, going crazy in
going
my
back
head.
And forth
squirrels.
To the pasta sauce and the squirrels.
And what better way to discreetly spy on people than squirrels? They're quick. Nobody wants to go near them. You know, with nanotechnology, you could have a mosquito... spying on you. So a squirrel is very much in the realm of possibility. Maybe a little curl collar with a camera on it or something.
And the irony, because back in the Cold War, a moose and squirrel were our number one agents against communism.
That's
so
right.
Now the Russians are turning it against us.
It's true. Yeah, the story of my life is a combination of Goodfellas and The Departed. But the Departed part is just that the squirrel hops across the windowsill at the end of the movie there. And you go, oh, that just ruined the whole movie that I just watched. Stupid.
I like it at the end of the movie where he's got the things on his feet so he doesn't make footprints.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, these tough guys, and he's wearing his hospital little bootsies to kill him.
Mark Wahlberg thinks of everything.
Yeah. He does. Does he kill Matt Damon at the end? Yeah. Oh, geez. I just gave it away. That's all right. All right, let's move on. So baseball, the trade deadline, you find it interesting?
The trade deadline? Oh, I love trades and young players across all sports.
right. Baseball's got the best trade deadline of any sport.
Yes,
so
that's true.
It's inherently interesting, I would argue.
That's true. It is the best trade deadline. But sometimes stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah, but it's the only one where it's usually mostly about strategy and team needs and making your team better versus, like, little maneuvering of salaries and stuff. It's the most chess-like.
It's to influence the game. Yeah, you're right. NBA trades are often salary dumps and stuff like that. And last year, the Yankees made both the World Series teams into what they were.
And any time that the Yankees can add a player who immediately hits into a triple play, the trade deadline is a great
They won that
time.
Game. They won that game. And now football. Now, I was talking about this in that crappy article I wrote for the Sports Dump website. You don't know about this yet, but you'll be a reader very soon.
When he says you, he means America.
Yeah,
America
you.
Doesn't know about this yet.
So here's this idea I had. And we'll talk. Any other current events that you guys wanted to bring up? No.
You mean like when you say current event?
Sports events.
Oh, okay.
I don't want any of your Alex Jones stuff.
John McCain turned face last night on an episode of WWE Congress.
Oh, you know what? That I will mention the WWE thing. I feel like they are legitimately, ESPN, they are just slicing brains up right now on ESPN. They don't need to show a guy slice a brain like it's a rump roast. He just cut right through that thing. God. No, there's no such thing as a really tasty mushroom.
Sure there is.
Psilocybin?
No, you go to get like a good mushroom.
All right. The point is, what do you guys think of this? The point is, I think, so Comic-Con just happened. I think during July, all the big sports, except the NFL, should have a huge sports convention. In that sports convention, you could have the following events happen over 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Starts one weekend. It's three weekends. So it's whatever that is, 17 days or something like that. You could have the Major League Baseball draft, the NBA draft, the NHL draft, free agency in the NHL and the NBA, the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, and the All-Star game. All those things could fall in that period of time, as well as all the college football conferences have their media days around July. You could put that all into Las Vegas in a three-week thing, combining it with the National Sports Collectors Showcase, which is a yearly, the biggest sports collectible convention in the country. You put that all together in Vegas for 3 weeks, people are going to go to that.
This just underscores the enormous reach of the National Sports Collectors Convention.
Yeah. They get like 100,000 people.
100,000 people compared to the markets that you're going to be getting for the NHL, NFL, NBA.
Well, what I'm saying is all those people, you take that into Vegas, yeah, you're going to make it a lot bigger. It's over the course of, 3 weeks, and then you've got the press. Everybody can just be there all in one place. I wrote, excluded the NFL because they're such dicks about everything, and you don't need them. And
I just think it would literally overwhelm the capacity of the hotels industry there.
You think it would be too big?
Mm-hmm. I think it would be too big. It would need an additional sister city, like part in Vegas, part in Reno.
I think Vegas can
handle
it.
NHL can go to Laughlin. This whole idea is like a jaded old sports writer who's tired of going out and flying over the country, but Joe has never left his apartment.
Right, right. I'm jaded. I have the ability to be jaded with no reason.
True.
I just think it's a good idea. Sports convention.
He's a man who sits on his couch and is exhausted by watching SportsCenter. So he's just can we make it easier on him?
It's true. I got problems.
Yeah,
a good one. We need. It's good that we're sharing this microphone. I did want to talk a little bit more about just you generally. What shirt are you wearing here? Mills Grocery. Where'd you get this shirt?
This was a place in Michigan where my sister-in-law's brothers have a lake house, and they always give me shirts from the local store.
So they're not related to you. It's your brother's wife's brothers.
Yes, but I consider them wrongly my brother-in-laws.
I'm guessing they don't consider you the same.
True.
This shirt, the design on it, it's great use of headline and subheadline, because it says Mills Grocery, Sunset Boulevard, and then under that it says Union, Michigan.
Yeah. Well, oh, and it says Living Large at the Lake. Wow.
Union, Michigan has always been kind of the Hollywood of
that region,
yeah,
of Michigan.
Peninsula.
And you actually, so this is not a shirt you acquired in a thrift shop.
No, this was hand bought in Michigan and brought to me.
Okay, it was gifted to you. Yeah. It's a nice shirt. I like the color purple.
Thank you. I had a different purple shirt on the other day that said, I want my MVP, Jeremy Lamb, in the stylings of the I Want My MTV from the 80s.
Jeremy Lamb as the MVP of the, what, NCAA tournament?
It was just the Charlotte Hornets coloring. It's just a fun novelty shirt.
Someone actually made a novelty shirt suggesting Jeremy Lamb might be the MVP of the Charlotte Hornets.
It's just a fun shirt.
Somebody made a shirt, and then after Jeremy Lamb played, it became a novelty shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
I see.
Oh, wait. If you're honestly not clear, it's because it said MTV, but this says MVP, where the VP instead of the TV.
No, I understand that. My it's less the I'm not commenting as much on the making fun of the MTV logo as much as putting Jeremy Lamb in there.
Well, if Jeremy had a coach that understood him and gave him the appropriate minutes.
He's not even the best Connecticut player on that team.
He's not even the best Lamb in professional sports.
No. Lamb needs to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
Jake Lamb, the Arizona
third baseman. Yeah.
Yeah. We are talking about that.
I honestly thought we were talking about for the first 10 seconds of this conversation.
No. Kemba Walker's much better than Lamb.
They're great. They won a championship together at Connecticut, and they're together again in Charlotte. So that's why Charlotte's my favorite team.
If you have that math equation, you have Kemba Walker, then the greater than sign. Jeremy Lamb is the only thing you can put after the greater than sign.
Sure. All right, so you guys aren't big on my convention idea. That's fine.
Go ahead.
The convention is a great idea.
Okay.
But it's very uninteresting to sort of hear about. I want to.
I did a bad job describing it. All right, well, any other sports issues you guys want to talk about? Any issues at all? Dan, what's your latest conspiracy theory?
First of all, I don't deal with theories. I objectively analyze facts and then make a decision using my brain and common sense and different things like that. The latest, I think you were talking about Nazi gold earlier, and they found the biggest stash in the history in Argentina recently. And there's been a lot of people over the years that thought the German and British and U.S. intelligence agencies swept the Nazis off to Argentina.
They were in on it.
Yes, there's more evidence of it today. Because there was tons of money to be made. Let's not forget who paved the roads in Auschwitz and where the money is.
Sure, sure.
Going. Let's not be cute and sweet about our nation. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. A
lot of dirty stuff in this country. I like how you subtly said you were talking about Nazi gold earlier as if like that's, yeah. Hey, guys. Can we talk about Nazi gold again?
Joe sprinkles into conversation pretty liberally.
I think you brought it up, honestly. I don't think I brought Nazi gold up.
Joe opened the box of donuts and said, these donuts are harder to quit than hoarding Nazi gold.
Krugerrands! So many Krugerrands. One of my favorite, and there's nothing worse than having someone tell you about an improv scene. But I only remember...
and he proceeds to tell us about the improv
I'm going
scene.
To anyway. But I only remember maybe like 4 moments in improv in my life. I remember one when you had the Siegfried and Roy shirt on. There was a show that we did one time.
I stand corrected. He's going to tell us about 4 improv
scenes. Two things, but it's worth hearing. So Dan here, my friend, we performed in a group together. And one day in the show, he was wearing a shirt, a button-down shirt, that was legitimately a picnic tablecloth. Like, it was the pattern of a picnic tablecloth. So within the show, we made him the dad at a picnic or something, and he had worn the shirt. And so he takes the shirt off underneath... Again, unbeknownst to any of us, to reveal a Siegfried and Roy shirt. But it's not Siegfried and Roy. It's the Tigers from Siegfried and Roy signed by Siegfried and Roy, and a paw print from the Tiger, like an autograph from the Tiger on the shirt.
How do you know it wasn't the shirt that Roy was wearing?
I don't know that. Whether like that. Anyway, the audience and the people on stage were crying, laughing at him revealing this thing. That's not even the moment I wanted to talk about. It was this other guy. In this treasure scene, he finds this box of treasure, and it turns out they're pesos. And he's going, pesos, hundreds of pesos. And I just thought that was Rob Janis yeah. who did that. I thought that was funny. Okay, you're right. It wasn't that funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But so our listeners at home know, pesos, you know, you could see a margarita, and it's like 450 pesos. Don't be alarmed.
Yeah, I think people know pesos are not valued.
Three amigos drove that point home pretty clearly.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, he was just doing the Three Amigos scene.
Right on.
Joe was watching Three Amigos.
Yeah, I was watching Three Amigos.
It felt like he had friends.
I often superimpose my friends' faces into the Three Amigos.
If the three of us could be the Three Amigos, who would be who from there?
Oh, that's nice. All right.
Nope.
The Three Amigos. So you got Martin Short, Steve Martin,
Lucky Day, Ned Niedermeyer, and
Lucky Bottoms. Dusty
Bottoms.
Dusty Bottoms.
Yeah.
So geez, I think I would probably be what's his name? Thank you very little guy.
What?
I would have re-envisioned it with Steve Harvey, Martin Mull, and a Chevy car, and made it.
Chevy Chase is who I would have been. Yeah. You would have been Martin Short. And Quincy would be Steve Martin.
That's high praise, Quincy.
I took it as such. That's the nicest thing Joe's ever said to me.
I mean, he is the best of the three of them in terms of, like, comic career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
it's a toss-up. They're all doing pretty good. All right. We're at a half hour, I feel like. Yeah. This was a nice little template to see what goes on.
And Joe's a master of setting people up. He knew you weren't going to tune out before he got to his improv stories, so he puts those at the end.
Yep. And now we can stop.
Yeah.
Now that we've gotten to that point. Maybe we'll do another one of these next week. Not with these people. With no people. None of it. I'll just turn on the recorder and let it go. Have the TV on.
I would let the listeners at home email or tweet us and determine whether we'll be back or if it'll be just you.
Well, just for the record, you and I had talked about doing this on Wednesday. And then I get a text late last night. We ready to do this podcast tomorrow?
Yes. And here we are. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I accommodated you.
Yeah. Because I work. I am a job guy.
That's true. You do have a job guy.
And just so people know the amazing amount of preparation we did for this, I walked into the apartment for a completely unrelated matter.
Yes.
And Joe said, oh, by the way, you're doing a podcast.
To be fair, about 10 minutes earlier, I sent you a text saying we were doing a podcast. But yes. This was, like I said, this is a warm-up. And the only thing I have to do to make this better than the other times that we've tried to do this as a warm-up is let the recording go through.
And and get a third microphone, because I'm much more comfortable when I'm not, like, you know, sharing the microphone.
It's true. You and I don't share a microphone well.
And just to give everyone kind of a glimpse into, I think, Joe's improv style, whenever Nooch would try to talk, Joe would not hand him the microphone. But Joe would
I'm
say
controlling
something,
the microphone.
And Nooch would have nothing to add, and Joe would just shove the mic in his face. And
I'm
so
dictating the whole thing. You're right.
If you see it, like Nooch just go, that's because he was not even paying attention, and Joe shoved the mic in his face.
Yeah, but that's, you know, often the best response you're going to get from him anyway, so I don't feel too bad about that.
It's like your Shaq conducting the orchestra.
It is. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks to Quincy and to Dan. I will put this up. I don't know if you're listening to it even at this point, listener. But if you are, I just want you to know that there's no outro music. Goodbye.